Welcome back to the show, Evan Bray. Good to have you here on this Tuesday morning. I mentioned we are live on location at Ag in Motion tomorrow and Thursday. We would welcome you to stop by the booth. We are there for the full show tomorrow, and we're at the Federated Co-op Farm Pavilion booth. So that's booth 492. It's the grounds are huge. If you've never been to Ag in Motion before, I jokingly said this morning, put your walking shoes on. You're going to need them, but weather is going to cooperate and should be a great event. It's well underway, day number one right now. Well, you might remember a couple of months back now, maybe a few months back, actually, we were having a discussion because it came up in the news about the CON code. So this is the code amongst inmates that are in a correctional facility, in a federal penitentiary, the code, the rules, and many of them, of course, just unwritten but understood rules that they follow. And I had a jail guard on the show. From that discussion, we had a gentleman reach out and say, hey, you want the perspective from someone who did some time in a correctional facility? I'd be happy to talk to you. Remember, we had Cody Ptolemy on the show. Cody said, I can tell you, I spent some time in both the provincial and federal correctional facility. Since got out, since has his life going in a great direction and has for a number of years. He's got a family, got a very successful job, and was a great guest on the show. We got a lot of really good feedback, people saying, wow, it's so fascinating to listen to someone who spent some time incarcerated to talk about what it was like. And that perspective is one that not a lot of people are able to have. So we decided, you know what? We should keep Cody in our Rolodex. I don't know. Does anyone even have Rolodexes anymore? We do at the Evan Bray Show, apparently. Let's keep Cody in our Rolodex. And it wasn't that long ago that we were talking about a couple of stories that were in the news about things happening inside of a correctional facility. And it caused us to think, you know what, let's reach out to Cody and see if he wants to come on the show. Well, here he is, live and in person, in studio. Cody Ptolemy, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
You were a great guest.
Thank you so much.
I didn't meet last time you were on the phone, but great to meet you in person.
No, I'm happy to be here. I've drove by this place for many a years now. I get to see inside.
You get to see inside and the great view that
yeah,
we have.
What a terrible view.
The river.
No, it's beautiful.
So can you tell us a little bit, as much as you're comfortable, about your life story? I have it on good authority from a couple of people. You're one heck of a good athlete. You played lots of sports growing up. What was it that happened that got you, was it in with the wrong crowd? Where did your life take the wrong turn?
So I was always always attended school, loved school. Didn't love going to class, but I loved meeting people.
Sure.
I've always been a people person. And therefore, like, I just wanted to continue to impress people, whether gain respect from people, give people my respect. And so later on, as you get older, friends call out on you for whether it be help for a fight or whatever it may be. So, like, once you start doing that and living that life, it kind of just... certain people reach out and then you want to impress certain people. And so when that started happening, as you're older, things get a little more serious. And, you're, like, for me, I'm old school, all about respect. And so when that happened, like, it's just a trickling ball. You just kind of get lost and caught up in the weeds, like, really fast. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what happened for me. I just got caught up in something that I didn't think that was even possible to go to jail for. Mm-hmm. Didn't think that you could call the cops or go to jail, or didn't think that was a repercussion that I could have until mm-hmm. it was too late. Mm-hmm. Until you're looking at about 10 years in prison and you're like, okay, maybe I need to take a step back and realize what's going on here.
How long did you actually spend in prison?
I did 3 years is what I was sentenced to. I ended up doing just over 2 years total time.
Okay.
So I got out on my one third parole, but it was a little later. I went for parole a little later. Mm-hmm. I just waived my day parole, went right for full parole or day parole on my full parole date. There's a bunch of different stuff that you have to do to be accessed for parole. Mm-hmm. So it's basically, there's a certain time, 1/6, you're eligible for day parole. 1/3, you can go for full parole. No one ever does that. When your parole officer will tell you immediately, you're waiving your day parole. You're not getting out in 1/6. And that's in a federal system. Mm-hmm. And so when my 1/3 came up, unfortunately and luckily, I did time with my younger brother. And so he went up for parole first and got it. And so shortly after, I applied for parole and got it. Mm-hmm. And the amount of people that told me that when I said I'm never coming back, they're like, if I had a dollar every time I heard that. Well, and I never went back.
No. Well, let's talk about that, Cody, because you have your life is a success story since getting out.
Yeah, and it's rare. I have a lot of friends still in the system, have died in the system, and it's hard. And they don't make it easy. They really don't. And some I've seen on Facebook, some people like think it's a cakewalk, and it's far from a cakewalk.
Yeah.
Even if you jump through every hoop they give you, it's so hard. They make it really hard, and it's for a reason.
Yeah.
Like, you committed a crime. I understand.
Sure. So, I mean, since you've gotten out, you have, you are a skilled worker. You're an iron worker,
yes,
correct?
That's
correct. You've got a great job. You've got a family.
Yes. Two beautiful little girls.
Good for you. And, so life has been great.
Amazing.
Since getting out, but you are the exception. Is that right? Would it be right for me to say you're the exception to the rule?
Yeah. Exception for sure, but everybody has the same, like, you just got to want to do it.
Right.
I was just thinking about it before coming here. Like, what would, like, I compare this to? And, like, honestly, I'd treat it like an addiction. Like, not like the sense that you just need to do it, the sense that you want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't force somebody to not commit crime.
Right.
You got to not want to commit crime. Mm-hmm. You got to want to change your life. Like, nobody's going to be like, hey, you can't do this no more. You're going to jail.
Mm-hmm.
You got to want to not do it no more. You want to see the bigger picture. That's kind of where you got to get on board with.
We're chatting today with Cody Ptolemy, who is a former inmate, now has a successful career, a family, born and raised in Saskatoon, correct?
I was born in British Columbia, but all my life in Saskatoon.
Okay.
Yeah.
When you were in jail, so you go through the court process, all of that, and you end up getting sentenced, you're in jail. Is the process inside correctional facilities set up for success for inmates? Or is it like, because I hear conflicting reports from people, depending on who you hear, that it doesn't actually help people improve themselves.
Yeah, I think a prison sentence is a lot like a snowflake. Not one of them's the same. Mm-hmm. So, like, it is hard. Every single person's going to have a different road, and it's all what you want to make it. Like, I wouldn't say it's set up for success, especially when you get in there. It's far from that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think you're there for a punishment, and you're treated as such.
Right.
And so that's how I felt going in there. Eventually, once you kind of, like, because all they read is your charges on paper, and then they assess you from there. And for me, it was not good. And so I was treated as such.
Mm-hmm.
I had visitors, like, I had a girlfriend that I've been with since grade 8. I couldn't visit her in a federal system for 9 months. I couldn't touch her, to where I was watching everybody visit their family. Like, and it was because they made me out to be this bad person.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, they really want to beat you down to, like, see how you react and see if you're willing to change. And I didn't give them that. They could have tightened my cuffs as tight as they wanted. I wasn't going to tell them.
Mm-hmm.
No, I would take it. Like, no, you're not getting one on me here.
You know, I have so many questions for you, and I know the listeners do as well. And so we actually said for the second half of this interview, we're going to take a break right away. If you have a question you want to text in for Cody, shoot us a text, 1-877-332-8255, because you're a bit of an open book. You said
even
at work, you field questions from coworkers.
Sure. Yeah.
Did you ever see that episode of The Office where Michael Scott pretends like he knows what it's like in prison because they hired someone?
Oh,
you'll have to watch that episode. It's hilarious because he's portraying what he thought it was like in prison. And the guy who had actually done some time said, yeah, it's nothing like that. So if you do have a question for Cody, 1-877-332-8255. I've got a few more as well, but we'll take a break and we'll come back. Cody Ptolemy is my guest, someone who has shown that, given a second chance, you can make good with it. And, he's a living example of that. We'll come back and have a bit more of a chat with Cody here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to the show. Evan Bray, along with Cody Ptolemy, who you're getting a lot of shout outs on the text line here. People either know you because they played sports with you. A couple of people said they did some time with you. And many people giving you kudos on turning your life around.
That's awesome. That's so awesome to hear.
Yeah, great to hear. Cody is with us as someone who has in his life done some time behind bars, both provincially and federal, right? You've done provincial and federal.
Mostly federal.
Mostly federal.
Yeah.
So what is the difference there? Significant difference?
2 years plus a day, you're federal. Yeah. 2 years less a day, you're provincial.
But I mean, in terms of the institution, was there a significant difference that you notice?
100%, because you're living in a federal institution.
Sure.
And then, like, provincial, you're kind of just
you're always in transition.
Yeah, you're always kind of either waiting charges. You're mixed up with guys that are serving time their mm-hmm. sentence, and majority of the people in there are waiting for sentencing, or they're there on remand or something like that. So big difference for sure, because once you get to the federal institution, you're living there. You're guilty.
I mentioned Cody has carved out a great life for himself. He makes a very good living. He's got a family, a couple of daughters.
That's correct.
How old are your girls?
7 and 5. That's well, going to be age. 7 and 8 and 5.
It's a fun soon. Age.
Oh, there's something.
There's something. As a dad, I mean, there's different challenges having. I have a daughter as well. So as they get into dating age.
Don't even get me started. They're blonde-haired, blue-eyed.
So. Yeah, exactly. So there's. I threw it out. I said, if you have a question for Cody, shoot us a text, 1-877-332-8255. Well, let me tell you, Cody, people have questions. What was your first day in prison like? Do you remember that day?
It was a day I'll never forget for sure. So when you get to a federal institution, you're immediately put into an intake facility, which is just on – you're not quite in the population of the prison, so you're in an intake, and in with the prisoners they call it the fish tank, because once you get there you're just a fish. Mm-hmm. That's what they call you, all the new people doing time, they're fish. And you go to intake, and what that intake does is basically sees whether you're gang affiliated, you have any issues in the prison. They wait to be pen placed, so you get to get pen placed. So if you do have issues or you're a rival gang, you won't do time there, but if everything's good, you'll get sent out to general population. And so I went there, just so happened to go there with a friend of mine from high school, was also got sentenced the exact same day. My little brother got sentenced the exact same day as me. And we all went out together. And so it was a little easier for us because we knew each other. Mm-hmm. But just getting in there and stripping you down, and there's some comedy there because you're with your little brother. So we had some laughs, but it was just a big reality check once that door shut and you're like, I was like, I'm ready to go home. I apologize for what I did. It's time. Yeah. joke's over. My bad. I'd like to go home now. And no, it was the gates locked and you're not leaving. Yeah. And that was a big reality check for me.
There's a lot of people, Cody, wanting to know about gangs. Do you have to affiliate with a gang for protection, or can you be solo when you're in a system?
100% you could be solo. I'm from Saskatoon, so there's a big... There's gangs from Saskatoon, Regina, two different gangs. Being from Saskatoon, you want to stick to the people from Saskatoon. If you're not a gangster, don't be a gangster is kind of the best advice I could give somebody.
I'd like to put that on a bumper sticker.
Yeah.
If you're not a gangster, don't be a gangster. Because
they'll test you. If you're acting like somebody you're not and you're trying to be a big dog, you're going to get tested. And there's going to be 30 people lined up to test you. And if you're there to do your own time, that's a big, you'll hear that lots when you're in there, just here to do my time. Mm-hmm. And a lot of guys would respect that. They'll just let you do your time. They'll just leave it alone. But if you want to get involved in gambling, drugs, mm-hmm. you want to get involved in that, then unfortunately you're going to have to pay the price.
Right.
So I would suggest, no, you don't need to.
Right.
But
and many people are asking this questions, is it like what you see on TV, like rival gangs and, fights out in the yard, that kind of thing?
For sure. There's fights everywhere. There's fights on the playground at your school. You're just a bunch of big kids in a yard. There's definitely fights and there's people rivaling for sure. Mm-hmm. 'Cause they don't want to talk to the guards and they don't want to let them know who they hate. And so they'll just either take the licking or mm-hmm. go out there and stand on their two feet. Right. So they'll fight if they have to.
Here's a question from Leanne. Is it true that you should never ask an inmate what they're in for?
That's a very good rule. I think majority of my time, I couldn't tell you what half the guys are in for.
Right.
I didn't ask them. Right. If they wanted to tell you, they told you. And then if you had just from my experience in there, if you kind of thought weird about somebody, you'd call home and get somebody to Google them, because mm-hmm. usually it's on the newspaper, because you don't want to be living next to a sex offender and then if they find somebody else finds out, that puts your life in jeopardy, that you're friends with this sex offender.
Sure.
And they're going to want to put them in general pop as long as they can, because they don't want to put them in protective custody. Mm-hmm. And so, you don't ask, you shouldn't ask.
Cody Ptolemy is my guest, who has got a great life going for himself and his family right now. You're an iron worker.
That's correct.
What is your actual job?
I'm a rod buster.
What does that mean?
So I tie rebar. Rebar.
Which is why when you shook my hand today, you just broke three knuckles.
Yeah.
Strong fella.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're reinforcing concrete.
Sure.
So you're putting the rebar inside the concrete to help it flex and,
right.
and okay. so it doesn't break off.
I want to jump back to a few more questions. We got about 4 minutes left. Were you ever pressured into doing something in jail that you didn't want to do? And I think the person is referring to drugs.
I was never pressured. No. Drugs cost money. So if you don't want them, then you don't get them. Mm-hmm. And no, I was never pressured. I had a pretty good backbone for myself in there. And I was also with my younger brother, who's not a little guy. And no one ever pressured us. Once you kind of, no one's going to just offer or make you do anything.
Mm-hmm.
No, I was never pressured directly ever to do anything I didn't want to do.
Did you make friends? This is from Dave. Did you make friends inside that you're still friends with now on the outside?
I definitely met a lot of people in there, tons of trustworthy people in prison. Yeah. Absolutely not. Yeah, like there are some people that I still talk to that did the same path as me. But yeah, I still talk to some people. I've made some friends in there. Like, are we close friends? No.
Right.
But like we have each other on Facebook and there's a mutual respect for each other because like you kind of you're in the same spot and you kind of know what each other's going through on a rocky day. You kind of right. know what's going on.
If you could change something about our correction system, and I know this is a big question, but we got the text on the line, what would it be?
If I could change something, mental illness is like huge in prison. If like they could get any more support for mental illness in there, like a lot of guys suffer from mental illness, whether it's pridefulness, like anxiety. I know guys, I've seen guys just get worried about being released because they got nowhere to go. They just, it's just the people struggle with mental illness, and I think it's everywhere, not just in prison, but like when you're closed doors and you have all this time to think to yourself and worry about stuff,
mm-hmm.
We need to work on, and then it's everywhere in the society. Like mental illness is like the biggest push I could say for mm-hmm. the prison system.
We're chatting today with Cody Ptolemy. We're very appreciative that Cody's willing to come in and talk a little bit about what it is like being behind bars. It's a perspective that not everyone has, and so your willingness to come in and talk about it is very much appreciated. Couple of quick questions very quickly. Did you receive any job training inside that you're using now outside?
Yeah, I got, I'm not using it anymore, but like I got my WMIS, I got my first aid, I got my H2S. I actually just seen it on a wall somewhere and I'm like, how much does that cost? Cause I knew that that costed money. They're like, it's free. And so anything I could do, I did. So yeah. Like I got all that training inside before I got released.
Good stuff.
And it sent to my house.
Maybe this is a good question to end on with a question here from Jill wanting to know, what did you learn most about yourself in the time that you were in jail?
You don't have as many friends as you think. And you learn a lot about yourself and, self-strength if you're willing to make that change.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have the friends that you really think is like, you lose touch. Guys deleting you off Facebook or like, and for the people that are there that still talk to you, like, you know, you'll find out who your real friends are. That's the main thing somebody says in prison. You'll find out who your real friends are.
Yeah. Well, Cody, listen, we appreciate, this is the second time you've been on my show, and something tells me it's not going to be the last.
Perfect.
Because, you're a great guest. I'm very proud of the life you've carved out for you and your family, and I'm appreciative of the perspective that you can bring us. So
thank
I hope we can
me.
Do this again.
Oh, I'd love to.
Good stuff. Cody, thank you so much for popping by today.
Yeah, appreciate it.